31. And it's a nice short little passage. There's only three verses in it, but I'd like to read it for you if I could here. It says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. It's a privilege for me to introduce Bob to you. I know, Lauren, you said that you didn't know him quite as well, but we got to know Bob over the last few years now. He has been at Camp Evergreen, I guess, as long as I know, but Bob, maybe you can give us the exact numbers, but he has been director there. And what we have learned from Bob is that he has a heart for the Lord. He has a wonderful gift of being able to work with so many different people, and yet his heart and his wife Bev's heart have been for the growth of the kingdom of the Lord. And being able to go down there and work a little bit on the homes that we built there, we got to know Bob. Gracious. He had a sixth sense of knowing when we would show up there. He was always food and fellowship and always a selfie and something happening with him. And we just come to love the man very, very much. And his vision for what Camp Evergreen could be and for how Camp can reach out to so many young people. And ultimately, not just to those people, but to their parents and eventually the larger group. We saw some of the things that he was thinking, and we just are so grateful for his commitment to the Lord. And so Bob, you might not have done Zoom before with us, but this is it's a really neat medium, and we want to welcome you here. We want to ask you God's blessing. Maybe you can give us an update now as to what is all happening in your life and in the life of the camp, especially in regards to the building projects and things like that. So if you have that time, Bob, we look forward to you sharing the word and a little bit of what you have to say to us this morning. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of housekeeping items before I begin. I was very excited this morning because my commute was probably the same as yours. So I was quite excited about that. Lauren did mention that nobody was taking me out for lunch today, so I was a little sad until I remembered we still have some pasta in the freezer, so I should be okay with that. If I look a little fuzzy this morning, just make my picture smaller, so then that should be fine. And then finally, normally I look down at my notes and then up at the congregation, so today I've got some notes up here, and I'll try to focus on the green light, and we'll just sort of have to see how this goes. I'll start with a bit of a camp update and an obvious statement. This is my first report in the middle of a pandemic, so I wasn't quite sure how I was going to report this morning, but I'll start by sharing what happened last summer. It was a good summer, and kids came to know Jesus for the very first time. Many more expressed spiritual growth, significant spiritual growth. And so it's so good to be part of the ministry here at Camp Evergreen. Reminds me, Ben asked when I started, August 1st, 2012, was my first day here at Camp Evergreen. Last summer, I loved the number of volunteers and staff that we had. And overall, even though as one of my board members who volunteered for a week, he called it controlled chaos, in spite of that controlled chaos, it was a good summer. Something new we had last summer was having enough kitchen staff for two shifts. That hadn't happened before. And while we had hospital runs for the first time in a long time, we didn't have to phone an ambulance, so that's a good thing. We had two family camps that were well attended, and something that we continue to work through is the balance between welcoming and loving all campers and all guests, no matter what they believe, with staying firmly rooted in our beliefs. So again, we were turned down for a second summer in a row from Canada Summer Job Grants, specifically because of what we believe. I always like to share a few thoughts from some of our campers. These are actual camper quotes. One camper would like to try to sleep more instead of talking to girls. One would like a less spooky horse. This is never going to happen, but one camper would like to have half an hour with no adults on site. One camper thought the cabins were a decent size. One thought a week without their brother was good. And one camper said everything was good except bedtime. So there you have it, straight from the campers. Our guest group ministry was once again strong last year. Our first guest group in fall was a school where the majority of students and teachers are from a Sikh background. What a joy and privilege to be able to portray the love of Jesus to them. A school called William Pratt joined us in October with 146 students plus adults. Yikes, where is that new lodge when you need it? In fact, that week we had another large school overlap with them and we had 231 students for lunch. We had to do two shifts. We had our first blind student last fall, at least since Bev and I have been at Camp Evergreen. And it was very encouraging for me to see her at camp. She went down our zip line screaming all the way. And for those of you who know our zip line, you come to the end and then you start going backwards a little bit. So she screamed all the way down, screamed a little bit on the way back. And then she said, oh, that wasn't so bad. She was also on a horse and seemed to adapt well to the outdoor environment. Currently, we don't know what summer camp will look like this year, but I'm pretty sure that it won't look anything like last summer. We're waiting until June 1st to make our official decision, but honestly, that decision may be made for us sooner than then. We've lost all of our spring guest groups, and that also means the majority of our revenue is gone. And if we need to cancel summer, which was on track to be full again, we will need to return a significant amount of money as well. So what will summer look like? I believe strongly that we will be doing ministry this summer. I just, as mentioned, believe that it will look different than last year. So we're thinking of maybe having some family adventure days. We can even do that on the weekend, which we couldn't do in a normal summer. You had mentioned having DVBS, so we're thinking maybe we can join a church with their DVBS in summer. Maybe we can meet some campers and their families in parks in the city. And so we're trying to be creative, but like you, we just don't know what's coming down. Currently, what's keeping us busy is our program called Evergreen to Go, and you can go on our website and look at that. We are making five-day meal packages that we're selling. And often the people that are buying these meals are turning around and giving them to their friends and neighbors who are struggling. And for every 30 meals that we sell, we are committed to giving away 15. Not really a great financial decision maybe, but that's what we're doing is we're giving 15 away. And we've been able to give meals away to our immediate neighbors here at camp. We've worked through the ministerial and sundry. And last week we were able to bless both the Calgary and Red Deer pregnancy centers. So that was encouraging for us. Most of Reaching Higher, our new lodge, has been put off till fall. We were actually slated to start construction on the septic system, the exciting septic system, on April 15th, but even not sure if that could have happened due to the amount of snow that we still have here at camp. But we're moving ahead with two things. We're moving ahead with our water licensing and our septic system application. So still moving forward, but again, most has been postponed until fall. God is good, all the time. And I am so thankful that we serve a risen Savior who did not wake up this morning surprised at the state that his world is in. So please continue to pray for us. We don't want to miss any opportunities that God has for us through COVID. And of course, if you could help us financially, we would always welcome that as well. So thank you. That's our camp update. And now I'll move to the sermon for this morning. I've entitled my sermon this morning, Thankful for What You Don't Have. Thankful for What You Don't Have, from Psalm 131. Hang on. Like most of you, I am still trying to come to grips with the world in which we now find ourselves in. Had you told me 2 months ago that I would be preaching here in Rosemary via Zoom, I would have had a hard time believing it. Bev and I, my wife and I, were blessed to go on an Australian cruise that started February 21st. I can tell you, however, that it was not the most restful holiday as COVID-19 continued its spread. We watched it on the news from our stateroom. We were actually one of the very last ships to be able to dock in Sydney, and by that time, the Canadian government was already calling Canadians home. In the middle of our flight from Sydney to Auckland, Argentina closed their border, and there were people on our flight who had to immediately make other arrangements. Our final stop before Calgary was LAX, and we were just hoping that they would let us through. They did. We made it home and went into self-isolation for 2 weeks. The art of giving thanks is one thing that separates us from animals. To receive a gift and say thank you is one of the noblest things that a man can do. There is nothing small or trivial about it. To say thank you is to acknowledge that we have been given something that we did not earn, that we do not deserve. Happy is the man who understands that all of life is a gift of God, and that life itself is the ultimate gift, which is why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. When we can't do anything else, we can always be grateful. Our message this morning is from Psalm 131. As you know, David was a poet and a musician, the sweet singer of Israel. And when you read through the Psalms, you'll notice that nearly half of them were written by David. Psalm 131 is one of the pilgrim songs. The heading calls it a song of ascents. That means it was part of a group of psalms that were sung as the Hebrew pilgrims made their way up the mountains toward the city of Jerusalem for one of the annual festivals. 15 of these psalms are grouped together, numbers 120 to 134, and all except one are fairly short, exactly the kind of songs that you would expect a group of travelers to sing as they marched along. It's possible that you've never noticed Psalm 131 before. It only has three verses, so you might tend to overlook it as not being very important. But that would be a mistake, because this little hymn by David is really a little jewel. Charles Spurgeon said that this psalm is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. There are three verses in Psalm 131, and each one reveals an important quality for us to consider as COVID-19 continues to impact our lives. The first quality is humility. The psalm begins with these words, "My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes not haughty." Not many of us would begin a prayer this way. It sounds odd to our ears, as if David was perhaps bragging about his humility. Have you ever noticed how tricky it is to talk about humility? How do you know when you're truly humble? Come to think of it, if you are truly humble, will you even know it? It's been well said that humility is the virtue which, when you think you have it, you've lost it. It's helpful to know that the word for proud is actually the Hebrew word for high, in the Old Testament. It was used for high trees and high mountains. It was used to describe King Saul, who stood higher than anyone else in Israel. It was also used of God, who was said to be on high and whose thoughts are higher than those of men. We use the word in the same way when we say, "Get off your high horse, Buster." We live in a culture that puts very low value on humility. They don't give out too many merit badges for humility. From the moment that we enter the world, we are urged to climb ahead, to get ahead, to climb the ladder, to look out for number one, to prove our success by the car that we drive. There was a period not too long ago where you would see bumper stickers and t-shirts that said, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." While it may be true that the meek shall inherit the earth, it doesn't seem to be happening in Canada today. David went on to describe humility in terms of how he looked at his own limitations. "I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." I like how the Living Bible puts it. It simply says, "I don't pretend to be a know-it-all." David is saying there are many things in the universe that are far beyond my meager ability to understand. I don't worry about those things, and I don't try to figure them out. I don't know how many times I've tried to figure COVID out. When is it going to end? What are we going to do this summer? When can I meet my camp treasurer for lunch at McDonald's again? Humility in this context simply means that you don't run the world. You don't have all the answers. You know your limits. That last one is hard for some people, the idea that we have limits. It's sort of a trendy new age idea to talk about unlimited potential and the untapped resources within us. The truth is, our potential is very limited, and the only untapped resources are the ones that we discover when we come to the end and admit that we are limited, but God is not. Happy is the man who knows his limits, and within those limits, does the very best that he can. Verse 2 brings us to our second quality, and that is the quality of simplicity. "But I have stilled and quieted my heart, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." The picture is one only a mother can fully understand. A child is born, and for a long time, she looks to her mother as the source of her nourishment. Breakfast, lunch, and supper all come from the same place. When she's hungry, she cries, and mom knows exactly what to do. But the day comes when she has to learn how to take a bottle, and often that's not a happy day. The child might fight or pout, often to no avail. Here's the truth. Unless a mother weans her child, she will never grow up. She will be a baby all the days of her life. And though it may seem hard, and though the child misunderstands, if a mother truly loves her child, she will not stop until it is fully done. When the job is finally done, the child no longer begs for that which it once found indispensable. Once she could not live without her mother's milk, now she no longer needs it. To be weaned is to have something removed from your life which you thought you couldn't live without. Sounds familiar today. In essence, David is saying, "I've come to the place where the things I thought I had to have, I don't need anymore. Now my soul is quiet and content." Many of us live on the opposite principle. We measure our contentment on the basis of how many of our needs are met. And as we all know, it's hard to reach a place where all our needs are constantly met. And so we find it hard to ever really be content. In our hearts, we think, "I would only be happy if I had a new car or a new job or a new tractor," or for us at Camp Evergreen, a new lodge. Since life is hardly ever that simple, we stay frustrated when we ought to be happy. And then COVID-19 comes. In the last couple of months or weeks, so many of our needs have been taken away. needs in quotation marks. It was Jesus who said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 18:3. What was he talking about? Was it not a faith that is childlike in its simplicity? This summer, at one of our roughing it boy camps, one of many boy campers came to know Jesus. Acts chapter 2, where Peter says to the crowd, repent and be baptized, was part of the conversation during devotions when this happened. This boy immediately wanted to get baptized, simply because the Bible said, repent and be baptized. Let me preface the next part of the story by saying that we do baptize campers and staff at camp. When a camper or staff member wants to get baptized, they have to get their parents' permission, and they need to invite one of their pastors, as we realize the much-needed ongoing relationship with the church. So we phoned non-church mom up, and we explained what had happened and that her son wanted to get baptized. One of mom's first questions was, is baptism legally binding? After some good discussion, we found out that her friend's church was having some baptism classes starting in fall, and so the camper didn't get baptized at camp. In the context of simple faith, I think this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, unless you become like a little child. It is faith which is childlike in its simplicity. There is something that our children can teach us through COVID-19. They can teach us what it means to have a simple and uncomplicated trust in God. There is a third principle to be added to humility and simplicity. It's the principle of integrity. Verse 3 says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. The word hope in Hebrew means first to wait, then to wait expectantly. The concept is very close to our English word confidence. An expanded definition would be to wait on something because you know the thing you are waiting for will happen, because the person you are waiting on is trustworthy. Let me read that again. To wait on something because you know the thing you are waiting for will happen, because the person you are waiting on is trustworthy. David says, you have a choice to make. Either you choose to live like everyone else, or you choose to wait on the Lord. Once a child is weaned, the apron strings have been cut. In the same way, God weans us from our dependence on things of this world so that we will not be bribed into trusting him. What credit is it if we trust God only because of the good things that he has given us? A happy home, a secure future, good health. What do we do when life tumbles in, when hardships arrive, or when our health is gone? How will we respond when COVID-19 arrives? That's what integrity is all about. It's choosing to put our confidence in God alone. It's believing that he has answers to questions we can barely understand. It's coming to a place where we don't measure our spirituality by our prosperity. It's finding rest in our soul because we discover that the things we used to crave aren't so important anymore. There's a lot to ponder in these three verses. Now you know why Spurgeon said this psalm is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. Humility, simplicity, integrity. We need these three qualities as we continue to move forward with this new normal and whatever that looks like for each one of us. Often when we make a list of blessings, we normally begin and end with our material blessings. That's good and that's proper, but that doesn't exhaust the subject. In the spirit of Psalm 131, I'm going to ask each one of us to sit down sometime this week and make a list, a personal list, a private list of things from which we've been weaned. a list of things which through suffering and hardship God has taken away from us, and now our faith is stronger and deeper. Like many of you, I'm still in the middle of wrestling through what is happening to me today. I want to be able to come to a point where I can list the things I used to think I couldn't live without, but I'm beginning to realize that I can. Could be a dream that consumed all of our energy, but God has taken it from us, and we have found, yes, I can live without that. It might be a relationship, an idea, a personal possession, a promotion, a new job, maybe something that we have fought for, strived for. And when we got it, we found that it's not as important as we once thought, or it's been very recently taken away from us. Most of the things on our list will not be bad or evil or sinful. It's anything that has happened in our life in the last few months or even the last year that we can say, God has shown me that I don't have to have that in order to be happy. Be thankful for the things you no longer have to have. At this point, there's no real end in sight for COVID-19. And yet, in spite of that, we ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. May our days be marked with humility, simplicity, and integrity. Let us be thankful not only for the things that we have, but also for the things that we no longer have to have. And let the people of God hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. What a lot of good thoughts there. You know, I think it is a short psalm, but there's a lot in there, and you unpack that so well. And so we just appreciate that, and want to pray for the camp and for you and Bev, the ministry before you. Yeah, there's so much uncertainty today, but we know that God is in control, and so we just trust that God will do great things. Got a text from Keisha, so we'll just continue to pray for Dietrich too. That was a little boy in our church who's had a lot of health needs, was in Children's Hospital this week. Glad that he's home, but just to continue to pray. I just want to say a prayer, and then you know, one of the things we have been doing after is you know, some people hang around just like we do at church in the foyer. And if people have questions of you, or you want to share a little more, you know, just personal stuff, you're welcome to do it. But let me say a closing prayer, and then that will officially end our service. God, we do thank you that you are in control. And really, this whole COVID thing makes us be humble before you. Because certainly, we know that it's only through you that we have hope, and yet we do. And maybe you've taken some things away from some of us, and yet you are allowing us to live well without them because we are with you. So guide us in humility, simplicity, and integrity. I pray for Bob and Bev, and just ask that you bless them and the leading that you are showing them for their future and time with family and new ministry opportunities. And I pray for Camp Evergreen, for a lodge which is necessary and now seems to be pushed back a little. How do you have a major fundraising campaign in this time? And yet we know that you own all things, and you can do above and beyond, and you can just provide so that the ministry of telling the gospel to campers and helping Camp Evergreen stand strong on their beliefs, biblical beliefs, while welcoming those and ministering to those who are not yet at that point. So guide the ministry. I want to pray your blessing on the church and on the church family, on Keisha, on Sam, on their three children, especially for Dietrich. Guide in what you have before them and other families and children of our congregation. I want to close with a blessing from Ephesians 3, where it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Well, God bless you, everyone. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Thank you, Bob. And pray that you know, God will lead you. And so people who want, I'm going to shut off the recording. But